This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Welcome back to the program, wherever you are. Glad to have you on board. I want to talk a little bit about movies. AMI at the movies. It's Fried Green Tomatoes this Saturday, starring Kathy Bates and Jessica Tandy. And this is on AMI TV Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Ramya Muthan and I are the co-hosts of AMI at the movies. A housewife who is unhappy with her life befriends an old lady in a nursing home and is enthralled by the tales she tells of people she used to know. Tune in to AMI at the movies Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV. Ramya Muthan and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the program.
Speaking of AMI TV, we love to chat with our friends from there on Mondays and find out what is coming up. And today we're previewing an AMI original documentary that's airing this Friday. It's called Pivot Like a Boss. I'm personally very excited to talk about the documentary, to check it out. So again, I said it's debuting this Friday, July 30th on AMI TV. And Wendy Purvis from Halifax is here to give us a little bit of a rundown of what we can expect. How's it going, Wendy?
Very good, Ramya. Thank you.
Good, good. So tell us what this special is about.
Well, it's basically a show about entrepreneurs. As everybody knows, the COVID-19 pandemic has forced many entrepreneurs to sort of change the way they do business. And Laura Bain is the host of the special, and she speaks to three entrepreneurs from the Maritimes who explain sort of how they're coping in these uncertain times and how they had to pivot their businesses and how they're thriving.
Wow. Up and down, I'm sure. What a roller coaster for the you know, any business.
Yeah.
And for these people to share, Wendy, really, really phenomenal. So can you tell us who they are, the entrepreneurs, and a little bit about them?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to tell you a little bit about them. We have Jenna White, and she runs Jenna's Nut-Free Dessertery in Fredericton. And she sells, like, cakes, cookies, sweets, sort of everything you might see on the Great Canadian Baking Show, all of that stuff.
Nice.
And Jenna has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and she started baking her baking business after she became legally blind. And around the same time, she developed a severe nut allergy. Yeah. And anyone that has that severe nut allergy out there knows it's often hard to find. You have to watch the ingredients list very closely on everything. And she found no one in her region was doing nut-free baking. So, and she was getting sort of rave reviews for just baking for her family and friends. So she said, well, why don't I start a nut-free bakery business? And
nice.
She did. Yeah. And she started selling out of a farmer's market. And she was doing really well when the pandemic hit and closed the market. And then there's Mark Hobbs here in Halifax. And I don't know if you guys know of him. He's the CEO of Fundmetric. Mm. And it's a high-tech business in Halifax that helps nonprofits and charities raise money and connect with donors using artificial intelligence.
Oh, my goodness. So many charitable organizations would absolutely love to have a rep working that way and helping them out and support them, especially up-and-comings where people just have no idea where to go for that kind of help.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. His business is really cool. And don't ask me to explain it too much in detail, though. He does in the documentary or special, but because it's like I said, it's AI and not what they do, but he explains it very well, but I'm not too clear on it. but he has close to a dozen employees, and his business was, again, thriving before the pandemic. And typically, his main way of growing his company involved a lot of travel all over North America and attending conferences and doing presentations. And during the pandemic, that suddenly sort of wasn't an option. So that's what he was up against during the pandemic. And then, oh, and I should mention that Mark Hobbs has cerebral palsy, too. There's our third entrepreneur is Alex Pittman, and he is the manager of Mickey's Pit Stop, which is a car detailing business, and he's the owner of Alex's Chill and Grill in a restaurant in Lunenburg.
Okay.
And Lunenburg is a small town about 2 hours from Halifax. And like Jenna, he started his business several years ago after he lost his sight. And in his case, it was due to diabetic retinopathy. But he had a background in food industry, loved classic cars and detailing. So he just put those two things together and he runs these businesses side by side. And he calls it summer fun. You get your car washed and then you go have a burger.
So unique.
And it's so unique and it's like old time feel, but yes, it's wonderful yes. that these folks have taken things from a hobby, from a necessity of life or whatever it might be. And this is a business and navigating with a disability, you know, people would say, oh boy, goodness, that's tough enough. But, you know, these folks, I'm sure will say, look, you know, our toughest part is dealing with the virus and shutdowns and things like that has nothing to do with the amazing stuff they're able to do, based on their skills. Really great.
Yeah. Yes.
So how are they each affected? You know, as Kelly said, I'm curious about what they thought were the challenges.
Well, for Jenna, it was sort of her business was shut down. The farmer's market she sold at was shut down for months. So she had no source of income from her business during those months. And it gave her time to think, you know, she wanted her business to be pandemic proof. Like she said, I can't go through this again if this happens again, or, you know, what if we don't come out of it? So she sat down and she kind of did a counterintuitive thing. She decided to expand her business and she decided to make baking mixes that would be available mail order in addition to her baking business. So, and she thought that would be pandemic proof and because, you know, if they shut her down again, she could continue to do that. So that's what she started pursuing. And for Mark, it was mostly moving his team remotely and sort of accepting what was happening. And they just, they were always kind of a digital company anyway. So they just went more digital and kind of helped their clients navigate through that. And what impressed me about Mark was for his smaller clients, he sort of gave away something he calls the giving pages. And those are pages that help charities raise money because a lot of charities, his clients were hurting. And a lot of companies charge these charities monies for these, you know, to make these giving pages. And he made them available to his clients for free. So that was he did something that's kind of something too. You know, he kept his business running. Yeah. And then the third entrepreneur there, Alex, I think everybody can kind of put them, well, we all are familiar with what restaurants went through. His dine-in restaurant was shut down. He had to go to takeout several times back and forth. And then all the, you know, expenses of shifting back and forth. But Alex is funny. He says he kind of likes the hard stuff. And he said that he works 27 hours a day, 8 days a week.
Wow. That's really, there's a lot of kind of, you know, specific things that they were dealing with, but also just, you know, the common threads, right? The things that they were working on together, or not necessarily together, but, you know, all sharing in terms of working on. So how did you find the guests, Wendy?
Well, we started looking for entrepreneurs back in March 2020, our team. We were hoping to do a documentary just about running a business, you know, because that's of interest to a lot of our audience. How do you become self-employed? How do you do that? How have people done that? So we thought we would make a good documentary, and we'd researched and found sort of a short list of people. But then the pandemic hit in March and we stopped shooting in the field, and we had to pivot ourselves. We had to put that on hold, that story idea. And this spring we hauled it out again, but we couldn't do a story about entrepreneurs because of the last year and a half without, you know, addressing the pandemic and how it affected their business because of the nature of these type of businesses. So that's just kind of how we came up with the idea. But it surprised me at what stage all these entrepreneurs were in and what they were doing, and just their persistence and their resilience and their optimism, which are all entrepreneurial type skills that you need. They're impressive people to talk to.
Yeah, it sounds like it really is. In your opinion, for people sitting on the side, and I know you mentioned the listenership seems to be most curious about employment, but the interesting things about these people too, to me, as much as we can get the story of employment, but each of these people, I'm sure there's things that surprised you about them, but what is the reason to tune in?
Well, I think that anybody that, like, I always like entrepreneur stories myself, like, just because they're, you know, usually highs and lows and, you know, there's always obstacles they have to overcome. And I like they're people that, you know, saw a need out there or something that wasn't addressed or something that wasn't right.
Yeah.
And they're addressing it and they've got the sort of the tenacity to actually make their idea into a reality. And that's, I'm compelled by those stories. And I think it's just those challenges, the successes, they're just the stuff of good stories. And I'm so thankful they gave us their time. Like you were saying at the top of the story, that they were so willing to share. They're so open. And I think if anybody out there is interested in starting a business, that these three are excellent role models. So that might be a reason to tune in. If you're thinking, well, how did they do it? Because we do get into their origin story a little bit at the top, and then we go into how they pivoted. But yeah.
Well, we got about a minute, and I'm curious if there's anything really quickly that surprised you that you were kind of amazed about.
I think one of the things I really liked about Jenna is she's Indigenous and she wanted to honor her heritage in what she does. And you'll learn in the special that she created those baking mixes, but one of them was a bannock in a bag. And that is something she wanted to do to honor her heritage and spread awareness about her heritage. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And then I think Mark Hobbs, he impressed me. He's like a socially conscious entrepreneur. Like his business, he's making money and he wants to make money because he's an entrepreneur, but he's also trying to increase empathy in the world in the work that they do and helping charities. And I thought that was pretty cool.
all part of the pivoting, right, Wendy? That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing us, giving us a preview and honestly a deep dive into why this documentary was put together. I think it's great. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
We were talking to Wendy Purvis from Halifax, one of our producers over there. Pivot Like a Boss debuts on Friday, July 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern time on AMI-tv. And you can check it out on the app later on as well.
In the next hour, Opera Atelier is releasing their first audio-described adaptation of Handel's The Resurrection. We'll learn more. Danielle McLaughlin talks with us about Britney Spears and her current situation of conservatorship with her father. Up next, though, Vancouver community reporter Julia Bennett highlights the adaptive Amazing Race. We'll talk to her about it in a moment.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.